The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
Feeling like a champion. That's what I'm feeling like, Jordan, as we talk Champions Cup. I about called it League. I've done that so many times where I've tweeted and I'm like, oh, that's not CCL anymore. Gosh, what an annoying name change.
Yeah, for no reason.
None. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I just don't get what they were thinking. Like, maybe because they wanted a little bit of a rebrand. Like, it does look a little different, the colors and scheme and stuff. Maybe like, ooh, maybe if we... And they were like, I don't know what else to call it.
Well, I'm guessing because there's no more league aspect, but there hasn't been a league aspect since they got rid of the group.
That's true.
Because what the league aspect of that is be like, okay, you play these teams, you finish in a standing, and then you move on to the knockout round. But, yeah, I don't know.
Then why are we calling it World Cup? Why don't we call it World League?
True. I don't know.
I'm confused. Somebody get on the line with CONCACAF. Let me know.
Okay. So, yeah, we had the first round of CCC in the books, which had some of our teams had buys and stuff that we'll get to, but the first round had Saprissa versus Philadelphia Union. We're focusing just on like the MLS clubs here, right? Independiente versus New England Revolution, St. Louis and Houston battling it out, Orlando versus Calvary, Vancouver versus Tigres, Cavalier versus Cincinnati, and Nashville versus Mocha, and Forge FC. We'll talk about Forge FC, I guess. They lost to Guadalajara. That's as much as you're going to hear about Forge. Okay. Where do we kind of want to start with, Logan, here? Philadelphia won. I'll start with them. Favoritism here. Philadelphia had a disastrous first half against Saprissa on the road. own goal by Gleznis. It was driving me nuts. People were calling this like a Blake blunder at one point. I was like, what's he supposed to... He can't hands it. It's a pass backward to him. He needs to... Like, that's why... I think that's why it looks like a blooper, is that like he obviously can't hold it. So he's like just trying to like chest it, kick it type thing. And people are like, what a blunder by Blake. And then I corrected some people and they're like, well, what a team blunder then. I'm like, it was a Gleznis blunder. All right. You shouldn't be passing it back that way. You know, just kick it out of bounds or something. Regroup.
Incredible skill though. Like to score from that far out on your own goalkeeper. Like that's incredible. Like I thought it was
top impressive. Goalkeeper too. Right. I mean, like,
this guy's no slouch. Like, good on Jacob Gleznis. And he not really even looking at the goal either. Like, what an impressive back.
That's probably why it went in. Yeah.
when playing out of the back goes extremely wrong.
Yeah, and that's what, like, kills me about playing out the back. It just does. At that moment,
it's going to go wrong.
Kick it out of bounds. The throw-in's going to happen. He's not going to be able to immediately throw it in because there's nobody around him. So, like, his team will have to come up. So you can
kind of
regroup.
That was my thought.
You can kind of regroup. Even better, try to kick it out on him so you get the throw in. Right? I don't know. People that they just always try to pass it to the goalkeeper and it turns out being awful choices. But they come back in that second half. They score three goals and then give up another one. But they had the road goal advantage. So they go to Chester. And you're like, oh, this is going to be pretty... pretty good. They give up a goal and then Philly scores and you know they score again or whatever, and you're thinking it's sealed, and all three of these goals were like back to back to back, right? And you're thinking it's sealed. Then they give up another goal and it's 3-2, and you're like, great, now they have to go extra, and Philadelphia wins it in extra, 6-5 aggregate. A little scary moment, but I'll take it. I will take it. Get through it. They smashed Saprissa last time in 2021. This year, not the case. And they now will face Pachuca. But what do you think about the Union against Saprissa? Blake got injured between the first game and the second game. So now it's Semla in goal, and he's been in goal in the league as well. But what was your thoughts on Philly's first two games in this Champions Cup?
Philadelphia and Saprissa should be like a, it should be on the calendar every year, no matter if they're in Champions League or Champions Cup or not. I don't know. They're just a vibe. It was a, it was MLS after dark in Champions Cup. It was, it had everything that you could possibly want. Blunders. It had goals. It had great moments. It had bad moments. It had Jose Martinez getting frustrated. Like it had it all as far as the Union are concerned. And to be fair, like when you're missing one of the top goalkeepers in the league, it's really tough to play in most of your games because there's just not a reliance and dependency on that backup goalkeeper doing the exact same thing. Obviously, that's why they're the backup. So, Jordan, I love seeing Philadelphia overcome because I think there's been moments where lately that Philadelphia have done this and then have lost it in the end. And I think that's kind of where they've started to regress a little bit. Is that, you know, beforehand when they were good, when they were MLS Cup finalists, they just bounced back and were able to compete in these games and just win games. And I think to pull this off in what was a very lopsided, interesting match against a team that I don't think many teams want to play against in Saprissa. Like, I think Saprissa would have shocked a lot of people. They've got high energy. I think that they come in as underdogs and teams play to them like that, and then they end up shocking you. So kudos to Philadelphia being down towards the 2-0 at half and then coming back and winning that match and then coming back.
It was 1-0 at half.
I forgot.
Felt like 2-0.
It felt like 2-0. But yeah, no, good on the Union. I think an important win, and they'll move on to play one of the Mexican giants that sit looming off of their bye.
And one thing we want to shout out here too is George Metellus, the commentator for leg two, was great.
He's so fun.
We liked him also. I had recorded something of his and sent it to you like the week before, 2 weeks before. Mm-hmm. I think it was like when Vancouver was playing or something. I was watching one of these late night games and it was him. You can tell it's him because he goes off tangent, but it was one of the players on the Mexican club was related to a actor that he liked watching in other things.
Oh, that's like, right. Yeah.
He's like going on about like, oh, I wonder if they're related. Then he's like, I'm being told they are related. And he's like going on about it. It was like really great. And then he became a star with the Philly fans during this one because of just, Kai Wagner, right? He's like, Entangled. That always makes me think Kurt Wagner, which makes me think Nightcrawler from X-Men. And it's just like going on and on. And Jose Nunez, who covers the Union and has commented on our stuff in the past and stuff like that, he had a great interview with him too. So if you're interested in that, make sure you go look and see that interview about the commentator who was and even Union posted like this thing of like the commentator's mind last night. It was like a whiteboard of like all of these tangents and stuff.
Yeah,
it was really great. But I'm sure he felt the love there. That was like the most I think love he's probably gotten as a commentator, because you know he's mostly doing, from what I've heard, a lot of these I don't know what assignments they get, but he's probably sitting in some sort of headquarters commentating on off a TV and has no color guy, right? So he just has to wing stuff like that and fill dead air at times. It was great.
Yeah, it was highly entertaining.
New England beat Independiente CIA or CAI or yeah CAI Club Atletico Independiente de la Choria from Panama. New England won the first game 1-0, and they won the second game 3-0 for a 4-0 aggregate. They will face Aluense. If I said that right, Aluense. Yeah, Aluense from Costa Rica. St. Louis had a 2-1 advantage on Houston in St. Louis, but Houston had the away goal. They go to Houston. Houston wins 1-0 late and wins it off of a off the away goal. 2-2 aggregate. Dynamo move on to face the Crew. It was the battle to see the Crew. I had some St. Louis, I think it was like Ball Watching, put out a tweet like, should we be concerned about St. Louis after this? I don't know, Logan, if you are. We don't really have to get into that today because we're going to be recording tomorrow for the main pod for them. But just, you know, we both picked St. Louis to win this just because we thought Houston would have too many injuries to kind of overcome here. But Houston did their thing.
Yeah, and Houston looks pretty good right now in league. Even with those injuries, I think they've made up some ground that we didn't think was possible with some of the big names that they've had out, like Hector Herrera, Quiñones, like Sebastian Ferreira. I mean, those are massive names to be missing in the attack. That's pretty much all their attacking force. But to be able to do what they're doing is incredible. And to stay in the match against St. Louis, where St. Louis had to pull one out at the death pretty much to win in City Park, which is one of the toughest places to play in MLS. And then you throw in this added mix of the Champions Cup, and it's just an extra, it's elevated, right? So, but yeah, I think St. Louis, no, I don't think there's reason to be concerned. It is their first time in CCC. Houston's been there, and while I know none of the players really have, there's a difference there when fan bases are used to that. And to be fair, I think having a coach like Ben Olsen helps. Like, I think he just has that wherewithal to know how to prepare them for a tournament like this because of his expertise in this field. So, been around the league, been around this cup, been around this competition before. So, I think Houston deservedly move on. And it wasn't like, you know, they went to Houston and dropped the 3-0. Like, you know, they let them equalize, and because of the away goal rule, they're moving on. So, don't like the away goal rule. Think it should still go away, but who am I to judge?
I don't know. Who are you?
I'm Logan, and I work for Stateside Soccer Show. I don't work for Jordan. Doesn't pay me, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I only pay myself. Okay, Chiefs Orlando. Games. Orlando beat Calvary 6-1 on aggregate, 3-0. The first leg 3-1. Leg two. Which leg was the home game for you? Leg two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw a lot of people complain about attendance for like Orlando and some of these clubs like Nashville. Look, Calvary is not a draw. Neither is Mocha. And both of those teams, Nashville and Orlando, had a 3-0 lead going into their aggregate. Why? I don't know. Why would you?
Why spend $50 to go sit right in a cooler weather,
parking,
in Orlando?
Yeah. Tickets, food if you need to.
Right.
So this is what, when people complain about like midweek fixtures, it's not just the midweek part. It is a combination of things when it comes to the opponent they're playing. As you see with Leagues Cup, which had big success in midweek at times, you have aggregate lead. You know, because I see people ripping in and like, oh, they can't show up for their team on a Tuesday at 7 o'clock like they do for baseball. They do for basketball. It's like, well, all right. Are they playing like a second division Canadian team in baseball? No, they're playing probably a big rival or something, and they'll pack the place. They had a 3-0 lead. If they would have blown this one, I'm even more glad I didn't spend money for it. Right? But yeah. Also, it's like it should just be at that point, nil-nil gets you done. Like, this is what is going to happen. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about Open Cup and this and stuff with, like, the casuals don't care. And if they do care, sometimes hardcore fans don't care. Right? If I was in Nashville, we had a 3-0 lead, and it's going to be cold? No, it's not in my budget. Also, like, that's another thing we have to worry about too, right? Like, not everybody has the budget to go to every single game. Season ticket holders, of course, they'll show up sometimes, right? If it's part of their package, they'll most likely definitely show up. But it just, this is what happens when you expand CCC. You have this whole first round where none of the picks for these matchups were like sexy matchups, except for like St. Louis Houston, right? Like, maybe Saprissa Union because of just how that one went. And Saprissa is a bigger club. But usually, if you look at like what Nashville had, what Orlando had, what the Revs had, none of these were matchups where you're like, we're going to, like, I have to go see this game. And when you're competing for multiple titles, that gives way too many games for fans to go to every single one. It also is just like I said, the matchup's not good. How much this stuff costs nowadays is crazy when it comes to a full night out, parking, the match itself, how many people are you going with? You know, like, it's just not going to be worth it sometimes. It's a Tuesday night. Look, I got work in the morning. I got kids or whatever, you know, like, I don't have kids yet. But, you know, like, I'm talking about general people that are like, oh, 7 o'clock. Well, I have to put the kid to bed at 9. Then we have to find a sitter. Do I take him to the grandparents? Then I have to pick him up at midnight and transport him back to the house. And then I have to go to work in the morning. Like, it is a mess. Luckily, nowadays, we do have a lot more, like, remote work, so people will be able to make that sacrifice a lot more, where you can say, oh, I'll work from home the next day, and I'll be able to get an extra hour of sleep since I don't have to commute. But there's more to it than just, like, we're not interested in these games. There's a whole bunch of stuff that makes weekday games a struggle for people. And yes, they might go to their baseball game more than they go to this, but, like, that might be a better matchup. Who am I? Orioles, Yankees, or am I going to go see Mocha Nashville? Right? Sorry, it's going to be O's, Yanks. Just will. Even though soccer is my favorite sport. This is the kind of stuff that they have to worry about when we're talking about midweek games and stuff like this. When we get to those later rounds and they have better matchups, you usually see better attendance. When it comes to Open Cup, when it comes to Champions Cup, any of those things. Just is what it is. Leagues Cup, yeah. People say, like, well, Leagues Cup was very well attended because they had better matchups. That's all it is.
Yeah, and people want to, you know, you want to get bang for your buck. Like, and my favorite thing is people that are tweeting about this are the ones that are also sitting at home, not at the games. Like, oh, man, we have awful attendance. Well, what are you doing sitting at home? Like, you right, can't complain. Right. But, Jordan, like, my thought here was, like, do I spend 40, 50 bucks on going to see Orlando top off a 3-0 on aggregate lead? Or do I save my money and go get good seats against Tigres who come next right. week? Like, you know, like, that's my
thought. And we know what you picked because you'll right? be at
I'm
the game.
I'm going to Tigres, yeah. So, and Tigres tickets are more expensive just because the Tigres
fans will. The quality of the
will,
opponent.
Yeah, yeah. And they'll invade. So it's great. Like, it's wild because I was there last year. The Tigres fans are, it's going to be so much fun. It's a redemption.
Yeah.
Revenge.
Yeah,
game,
that's a
baby.
Fun matchup. That's March 5th.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so Orlando cleaned that one up. They won that. Vancouver lose to Tigres. Vancouver started, ahead of time for some reason and then also didn't play week one. It was a weird situation. They had a good first leg, 1-1. So the second leg fell apart for them. Cincinnati beat Cavalier, right? Jamaican team, 2-0 in the first leg, 4-0 in the second leg, 6-0. Monterey is who they will face next. And then, like I said, Nashville beat Mocha on a 7-0 aggregate, 3 in the first game, 4 in the second game. And it's their stadium that looks really good empty, doesn't it? Aren't they the ones that have, like, the colored seats that make it look like... I can't tell if people are there or not.
Yes. Yeah, Nashville's. I did, good. Too. I was like squinting going, well, it looked like there's people there. And I'm like, oh, those are just miscolored chairs. Because they're, yes. Like, every other chair is a different color. So, yeah, it does. It looks... It
looks
very
good on TV.
It does. It looks really good on TV.
They just face Miami next. Yeah. All right, so let's talk... I don't know. Okay, so we covered what's to come. We kind of talked, I guess, go back to the top. Philly, Pachuca. That's also going to start on March 5th. I believe that game is in Philly for leg one. Or is it leg two?
They're leg one. I think all the MLS clubs, for some reason, are, I want to say, leg one.
Yes, leg one for Philly is March 5th at 1800. Was that 7 o'clock? 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock. Dang, that sucks. Again, these are set by CONCACAF. Okay. Yeah. So get mad at them, not us. And let's see. So your Tigres Orlando is 20 o'clock. Is that nine? No, that's eight.
That's wrong. It's nine. It's at nine. Which side are you looking on?
I'm on Wiki, so that might be my
fault. Well, okay, so here's the issue. CONCACAF released something that said, like, to be confirmed, and they put times out. It was 6, 8, and 10. None of those were right. I think none of them were right. So CONCACAF is the one that screwed everybody up. Because I was tweeting things like, no, it starts at this time now. It's like, nope, one's at 7.
Yeah, Philly's going to be at 7. Yeah. Orlando's at 9. Okay, I'm on their official website now. All right, yeah. This is better. Here we go. So March 5th will be Herediano versus Robin Hood. Go Robin Hood. I like the name. That's a 5 o'clock. Here. Hey, it's going to steal from the rich. Right. We got Philly and Pachuca at 7, Orlando and Tigres at 9 on March 5th. All right, so let's preview, I guess, Philly Pachuca here. Pachuca had a bye. Philly just hung on. Of course, Jack Elliott's going to miss the leg with the red card.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Blake, do we know how long he's out for?
It sounded like it was going to be a week-to-week thing.
Okay, so we don't know if he'll be back. Probably not.
Yeah.
And then, they'll face off in Chester against Pachuca, who sit third in Liga MX right now. They lead the league in goals scored, but they've also given up 16 goals in 9 matches. So you highlight some players here. Jose Salomon Rondon, who has 5 goals in 9 matches, and Alan Batista, who has 4 goals in 9 matches. Their left winger, Osama Idrissi, has 6 assists, and they usually play a 4-2-3-1. They've won the Champions Cup in 2002, 2007, 2008, 2010, and 2017. So 5-time champions. And for the second straight season, qualifying right into the round of 16. Not looking good for Philly. The defense is a little shaky this year, and you're going up against a really hot scoring team. I don't have faith. I do think that they can keep it at a 1-0, 1-1, 0-0 first leg here in Chester. But when we get to Pachuca, it's probably going to be a lot tougher for this team.
Sports betting heads, our friend Matt that we did our Stoppage Time Soccer show with, he's often bet on Pachuca because he said it's pretty much a guarantee that they'll score a certain amount, usually 2.5 over goals. It's like, that's nice. Not good because Philadelphia, I mean, they've looked pretty rough defensively, and I think that's a lot to do with Blake not having that confidence behind. But they haven't been great, and then missing Jack Elliott, that's going to be huge. Especially, I don't care if it is at Subaru. Like, again, we talk about this in this round, Jordan. You want to escape with a 1-goal win over the team before you have to go to Mexico or to one of the Central American locations or one of the countries in the islands if you're playing. So, Jordan, I don't find it realistic that the Union escape here with a 1-goal lead.
Yeah, that Saprissa game took a lot out of them in both legs and Elliott's out. I mean, they have depth, but it's like
they did rotate too. League.
They did rotate
this weekend, so they will have all their players pretty fresh. So.
Yes, and Semla's been good.
Yeah,
it's just we'll see how it goes from there. But yeah, I'm not feeling very confident against Pachuca. New England versus Alouenze. You had Shankalai 2 goals, one in each leg. Mark Anthony Kay scored as well. This is kind of a New England that has been starting over, right? And the first game of the season didn't go great for them. So having this kind of go good for them was good. So they host leg one on March 6th. That one is going to be at
Gillette.
6 o'clock in Gillette. So I think that is a probably not going to be very populated on a Wednesday at 6 o'clock. But they are a Costa Rican team that usually in this tournament, they've won the cup twice, 86 and 04. So not anytime recently. It's been dominated a lot by Liga Mekis. But yeah, so they won this CONCACAF Central American Cup, and that is why they're beginning in the round of 16. So they also had a bye. They currently sit third in their league, usually play a 4-5-1 or 4-3-3. And our players to watch are Johan Alberto Venegas Oloa, 7 goals. Joel Nathaniel Campbell Samuels with 7 goals. And Carlos Mora Montoya with 7 goals and 7 assists. I think the Revs should be able to beat them, but it's just what are you going to get from this Revs team?
Yeah, I 100% agree. Carlos, he looks really special, as he always does. But this year, he looks even more, like, he looks healthy. Nacho Heels played well. Mark Anthony Kay's played well. Shankalai, having him is a difference maker because Vrioni's not going to do anything. We've already figured that out in this league. I just don't think it's going to work. And now you add it to this competition. I just don't think this goes well. You're not going to get a goal from him on the road anyway. So if I would say, Jordan, if the Revs can get like a 2-goal lead here, and I think they can. I mean, Aluense, they have players that have, I mean, those three players that we've mentioned, I think those are the three players that they've had for quite some time that have played in this competition because they're always in it because they're one of the top Costa Rican teams. They seem to be permanently featured here. But, Jordan, I think the Revs are stronger on paper. And I think the Revs, before Bruce Arena was fired, was one of the top teams in MLS. I think teams people forget that, sorry. Players, teams, and fans forget that because of the disaster that it became. But, man, Caleb Porter could turn this around. And I think the Revs' main focus right now is probably this competition because I think that they're on the favorable side. Like, I think, unfortunately, Philly's on the side where they'd have to hit every single Mexican giant to get to the finals, where New England's on the side with Miami and Nashville, Orlando. Like, they're on the side that I think you'd want to be on. Cincinnati.
Are they? Because bracket I'm looking at has would face Guadalajara or Club America next.
Scratch that. I was wrong. So they're on the not favorable side. So, sorry. Then you win this game, and then you hope you win against Guadalajara. I thought they were on the other side for some reason. But, yeah, I think I've got confidence in this match. I don't really necessarily have confidence going forward for them.
All right, so then let's look at Orlando and Tigres. That's also on the 5th with the Union. That is at 9 o'clock. That's going to be a late night for you. You're going to the game. Should be fun. What are your thoughts on Orlando and this Tigres matchup?
So Orlando just got absolutely smacked in the mouth by Miami. They didn't like how the last season how they were bounced from this tournament because I felt like they honestly were the better team for, you know, you put the games together, I think 120 minutes were the better team over Tigres, which you don't get to say often, and unfortunately aren't able to move on. Tigres beats them, I think it was 2-1, 1-1 on aggregate, they got bounced because of the away goal that Tigres scored. So, away goal. How is that possible? I don't know. Anyway, they were eliminated last year from Tigres. But because I'm thinking, like, Tigres scored here, I thought, and then Orlando scored. Oh, I think they tied here, and then Tigres won 1-0 over there. No, it was 0-0, I think. Hell if I know. I don't know anything. You'd think I'd look this up before, or how I'd remember, but I can't remember.
It was 0-0 in leg one, then 1-1 leg two, and they won on the away goals.
That's right. So leg two
was
here.
At yes. Orlando. Yes, I
Thank
just
you.
Looked it up.
Thank you. I was, like, really confused as to how that math was working out. I was like, I could have swore they played here first. They're like, oh, my God. But, yeah, no, I think – Orlando against Tigres. Tigres has been pretty shaky lately, Jordan, which is weird to say. They currently sit 5th in the Clausura. I think ultimately have struggled. They've drawn three of their last six. They've lost one. They've only won two matches. I actually follow one of the guys that I'd met that was a Tigres press member. I follow them. I think it's LAU Times, and over on X, and has constantly been tweeting about how much they've struggled.
On Twitter.
Yes, on Twitter, sorry.
I'm not calling it X, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. but yeah, no, I think Jordan, with Orlando, the chip on their shoulder from the last game and then also last season, I think I feel pretty good about Tuesday.
Okay, I could see that. I could see that before yesterday.
Yeah.
After yesterday.
I get that. Yeah, I get it.
And Orlando has like 1 point in the league right now. I'm a little worried. You talk about struggling. They couldn't beat Montreal, and then they just got smashed by Miami. Yeah. That's rough. I would probably go Tigres here if I was picking, just because they have that. It is very special to have the history in this tournament and just know what to do, you know, and they know what to do. And it depends on how Orlando plays. For some reason, they seem to be slow starters, and they'll probably bounce back in the league. We'll talk more about that result tomorrow on the main feed, you know, for the main show. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be an event. I think it'll be close. I don't think they're gonna get blown out, but it is like. I don't know. I just can't see Tigres bowing out like this, man. It is cool, though. You get a tiger versus a lion.
I know. All right. You don't see that often. Yeah. No, but I get it. The Miami game, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But the Miami game.
I've been burnt by Orlando 2 weeks in a row when I picked them to win. All right. So I am out right now.
Yeah. But watching them play, like, there were moments they had that were good. They had some really bad turnovers. And then once it becomes 3-0, it's like, yeah, whatever. It's like, okay, you could give up six. And it's like, yeah, it's no different than when we were going to get beat 3-0. Like, it just becomes more embarrassing, I think. But there were some things that I don't think happen in this match coming up, because I don't think Martino Ojeda plays in this match coming up. I don't think Rodrigo Schlegel plays. And I don't think Duncan McGuire plays. So...
All right, so we talked New England. That's 6 o'clock on March 6th. All right, let's talk about the MLS matchup. Houston-Columbus, 8 o'clock on Wednesday at Houston. This should be a pretty fun matchup, I think, mm-hmm. because Columbus has looked pretty good, but you know, they kind of looked like, not to spoil our talk for tomorrow, I mean, they kind of looked like Columbus of last year, where they would give up late equalizers, you know. So Houston beat St. Louis in the previous round. Columbus had the bye because they're MLS Cup champ. Houston has the injury issues, which from Saturday they missed Sebastian Fiera, Hector Herrera, Nelson Quiñones, Griffin Dorsey, Franco Escobar, right? Or at least Dorsey and Escobar were questionable, but the other three were out. And, you know, but the crew seem pretty overall healthy. And they are going into this cup as a team that has been looked at as being like the next coming, I think, at times, right? Of like, this is like maybe the next dynasty or can win back to back. A lot of people have that expectations on them. They haven't had to deal with playing CCC and MLS yet, so we'll see how they handle that in the course of the season. But I don't know, man. I don't know where to pick with this. I think I would go with a Columbus victory probably, but Houston, when I picked them to lose, have been showing me wrong even with their injuries. And Houston was a team I was very confident in last year, so I'm really excited for this matchup because of the just Nancy versus Olsen. It's going to be Houston, you know, who won the Open Cup last year, facing off against Columbus, who won the MLS Cup. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on with that.
Yeah, and just to clarify, Griffin and Franco played, but it looks like Franco was a sub. Anyway, I think, Jordan, looking at this match, Houston did lose the Red Bull yesterday. So there is concern with Houston just because I think that it's just so much to replace those three up top. And I think ultimately it catches up to them. Now, Hector Herrera could be back in a couple of weeks, months, whatever it might be. It's so hard to get timelines out of some of these teams. But as far as Houston's concerned, I'd be a little bit more concerned in the fact that like they do look a little bit shaky defensively to start the year, and not to throw in their attacking problems that they're going to have. Whereas Columbus, like even though they drew yesterday with Minnesota, they still look like that team where they could absolutely smash your face in. And I'm not sure Houston's quite the caliber that they were last season because of the missing pieces. This could get to a point where I think Columbus blow them out. I think it helps that it's in Houston to start. I think that, you know, playing at Shell Energy is a big deal because that is an electric atmosphere when the team's been pretty decent in the past years. So I don't know. Like I'm Ben Olsen, it's hard to doubt because he seems to figure out ways to win. But I just think this Columbus Crew team is crazy. Like it's one of the best teams I think that we've had in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we'll both probably pick Crew.
Yeah. I think Kuchar carries him.
Okay. Thursday, well, then we have a really great matchup, 10 o'clock, that's not MLS related, but Chivas Guadalajara versus Club America. That'll be fun Wednesday night. I don't know if we even know what channels these are on yet, so just make sure you stick with our Twitter, and we'll tweet out like where you can watch, you know, if it's either FS2 or Tubi. Those are the places right now. Though some of these might end up being FS1 with, like, you know, some of these matchups. Thursday, March 7th, we have Cincinnati versus Monterrey, which I'm just trying to find the notes for that one. Okay. So Monterrey had what, a 7-1 win on aggregate last year to a round of 16? Oh no, they went through
Comunicaciones
of Guatemala. 7-1 win aggregate. They face Cincinnati. They sit second in Liga MX right now, but they have a match in hand, so one of the top teams right now. 16 goals, only allowed 6. Their last 6 matches in the league have been no losses. That's pretty good. 3 wins, 3 draws. Players to watch, we have Sergio Canales. Brandon Vasquez, of course, is now over on Monterrey. So that's a fun matchup. And then Jorge Rodriguez. Is mid his last name or his position?
That's his position.
So. Okay, I was going to say, I've never heard that last name. Jorge Rodriguez, 4 assists in the midfield there. So should be a really fun matchup seeing Brandon Vasquez come back to Cincinnati to go up against his old side after he left in the winter.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I don't know if you saw this news. DeAndre Yedlin will be joining Cincinnati. I don't know if it'll be for these matches, but Miami has traded DeAndre
What, right Yedlin. Now?
Yeah, it just broke on Twitter a half an hour ago.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Poker, just tweeted it. So it looks like Miami's still trying to get some money to cover for some of the contracts that they currently have sitting or players they have sitting. Yeah, I didn't. And Yedlin's been starting, so that's wild. I know Oriano, I think it's how you say the last name, Oriano. He had a death in the family. His father passed away. He posted on Instagram. So Cincinnati's missing him. Barrial obviously is gone. Brandon Vasquez is now joining, obviously, or has joined Monterrey, so at least he'll know where the locker rooms are. Well, at least not the away one, I guess. Jordan, I think this one's it could be a lot of fun. Monterrey's really good, and I think an unfortunate run into with Cincinnati being the former Supporters Shield recipients. So I think this is going to be tough for Cincinnati. I have concern they need to get goals when they play at TQL, because I think this could have the potential to be a very difficult game and matchup for them. I could honestly see Monterey beating them pretty badly.
They will because
they are so good.
It's just like after watching Champions Cup since like 2009, anytime you feel like you have hope against one of these teams, just like reverse that, and you'll get the result that happens. So I'm just reading this. So some people think that maybe they're going to shift Gressel back to right back to be able to create a spot for Federico Redondo.
That makes sense. But then
some Miami fans think that they're going after Franco Escobar from Houston. So we'll see.
I just think it's interesting that Yedlin's on the move. Like I thought he's actually pretty decent in the last couple of matches. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, if they're trying to
make more room in that midfield for.
Yeah. And then, 9 o'clock that night is Nashville and Miami. So that's Thursday, March 7th. Nashville, Miami, replay of the League's Cup final. Should be a fun matchup. Nashville have not really looked great. They did have the, they just drew, right?
Yeah, the Rapids in Colorado.
Yes. And Miami, of course, just stomped Orlando and sit top of the Supporter Shield standings right now.
Three games in,
just like everybody thought that would happen. So everybody's talking about Suarez's old knees. He's out there almost scoring a hat trick. So two goals and assists.
Miami
should win this. I think they're so much hotter than Nashville right now. This first game is going to be in Nashville, though. So. Nashville, like we said before, if they don't get Mukhtar going, it's not much going to happen.
Right. And he's been hurt on the shelf, and I doubt he plays in Champions League, like, or Champions Cup. I don't think that, even if it is his debut, like, this is tough to try to throw him in and expect him to do much in the 90 minutes, because I don't think he'd play a full 90 coming off injury, because they don't want to risk that. So, yeah, this one, I think, Jordan, should be a pretty easy win for Miami. Because of how depleted Nashville's been and trying to figure out what to do with some of these injuries. And you and I talked about this. Nashville are going to be in a lot of trouble if Hani Mukhtar is going to continue to be hurt. And a hip issue is not technically, or is probably not something that you would want, obviously. Any kind of injury would not, but hip seems to be one that would continue to give you issues if it's a hip issue. Just because of how much you lose that, you use that lower half and that torque. So, yeah, no, I expect Nashville. A fun one, though, Jordan Forster, Ayago, I think is how you say that last name, or Ajago. He's a Ghanaian, was not selected in the super draft, but was signed by Nashville. He scored 2 goals against Mocha, and it was a lot of fun to watch a player like that score. He had 14 goals and 4 assists in 18 games. Was a second team All-American in college at Duke, but that's a lot of fun. It's exciting. It seems like he's going to be at least a fun watch in this competition, but I don't think Nashville has enough.
All right. Well, that'll wrap us up, right? Anything else about the Champions Cup here?
No, I don't think so. So Jordan, out of the teams, who do you think, Who are we picking to go on? I think we kind of alluded to it, but...
So out of MLS clubs here, I have Pachuca beating Philly. I have Tigres beating Orlando. I have... I'll go Columbus over Houston. Miami over Nashville. Monterrey over Cincy. And the one I'm really struggling on is Revs Alajuelense right now. I'll probably go Alajuelense. They had bye.
I'll go Pachuca over Philly. Revs over Alajuelense. I'm going to go Columbus over Houston. I'm going to go Orlando over Tigres. Let's go for it. They're like, Homer. I was like, well, we'll see. Monterey over Cincinnati. And I'm going to go Miami over Nashville. So... nothing too crazy, except the Orlando one. But I don't know. I got a weird
feeling.
We don't
like to go out on limbs. So it is
That's true.
You know, we are very we picked.
I liked that because we got tweeted at, and it was, I forget what it was, but it was a team that clearly had the lead. Oh no, it was St. Louis. St. Louis had the lead going to Houston. I felt like, okay, like, I don't think Houston
was it for that one, or was it for the ones where we picked like the, like Nashville and like Cincy, where they had like 3-0 aggregate leads. I think that's the one they commented on, because it's like, oh, you're really going out on a limb.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, you were. Yeah, it was that one. It was that in Orlando, I think. It was like, what do you want? What do you want us to pick? But I think Houston was in that mix. Like, I think St. Louis was in that mix. And I was like, that one, that one could go wrong. But
all right, you can send us your thoughts here on the comments of the video if you're watching on YouTube, or you can also like and just subscribe to us on here. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. And you can also send us feedback at Stateside Show on all of our socials, or statesideshow@gmail.com. We're going to continue working hard, because in less than 36 hours, we'll be back here recording for our MLS Match Day 3, even though it's weekend 2, and we will have all of our reactions to those matchups. So thank you all for watching and listening. We will catch you next time.